Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman, and thank you for tuning us in as well here on Reading the Word. It has thrilled me to know, and you don't know how excited I am, that we have just these 15 or so minutes set aside in our busy afternoon to study God's Word together. Thank you for letting me have this opportunity, and let's get right into studying the Word, reading the Word, shall we? We're in Exodus chapter 20, and it is time for us to conclude the Ten Commandments. And we're ready for number 10, as fate would have it. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17, commandment number 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, this commandment, friends, this commandment would attack the heart of Israel. They cannot even covet, and covet is simply defined as yearn to possess or have something. They cannot covet anything. They cannot yearn to have or possess. Now, there is nothing wrong with having ambitions, with having goals of one day I'd like to have a nice house, and I'd like to have a paid-for car, and I'd like to have this, and I'm going to work for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you covet, as you start seeing your neighbor's stuff, and you go, my neighbor has a nicer house than I do. What can I do to take that away from him and give it to me? My cousin across town has a nicer car than I drive. What can I do to make sure they no longer have the nicer car? And then that's all you think about, all you dream about, all you plan for, friends. That's coveting. And I want you to notice how specific God is in His commands. Now, God, through His infinite wisdom, could simply have said, I tell you what, nation of Israel, don't covet. But notice, He says, don't covet your neighbor's house. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Now, to the women, they would have understood that meant don't covet your neighbor's husband. Don't covet their male servants. Don't covet their female servants. Don't covet their oxen. Don't covet their donkeys. And watch that last line. Don't covet anything that is your neighbor's. Friends, we cannot covet a single thing. If we expect, if we want, if we hope to dare to even be pleasing unto God. God is very specific in all His commands. So the Ten Commands in reverse order, because that's how my notes are. Number 10, don't covet. Number 9, don't bear false witness. Number 8, don't steal. Number 7, don't commit adultery. Number 6, don't kill. Number 5, honor your parents. Number 4, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Number 3, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number 2, don't make any graven image. And number 1, don't have any other gods before God Almighty, Yahweh Jehovah in heaven. Now, before we move on in our study of the Ten Commandments, something that I like to do, I've done it a handful of times at Wood now, whenever we've been in this section, we take the phrase, I am the Lord, which are the first four verses of Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 2, and you take an acrostic, if you're familiar with acrostic, where each letter of the acrostic stands for a word in something else. So if we take the 10-letter phrase, I am the Lord, we could use that to represent all the Ten Commandments. You ready? I would be idolatry, don't have any idols. A would be adultery. Don't commit adultery. M is thou shalt not murder. T in thee is take. We may also think of take as steal. H is honor, as in honor thy parents. E is envy. Another word for envy, a synonym, is to covet. L is lie. Thou shalt not lie, friends. O, one, as in there is only one to worship, no other gods. R is rest. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. And D, and I am the Lord, disrespect, or in other words, using God's name in vain. I am the Lord. God gave these specific commandments, and they were binding, friends. As we get ready to move on in our study of Exodus, we need to realize just how specific God's commands were. And we need to realize that although they were very specific, and although they lived under them, we no longer live under them. You say, wait, Brother Justin, I'd like to live under those. Well, you can't. It's a dead law. Go with me to Colossians 2:14, where Paul, writing to those at Colossae, says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, talking about that old law, contrary to us, Jesus took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Friends, when Jesus Christ died upon that cross, when he was suspended between heaven and earth for 6 hours, dying for you and dying for me, upon his shoulders, if it will, in his hands as they drove the nails in, were the Ten Commandments. Quit trying to serve an old law. Friends, God's commandments, they teach us how to treat both God, commands 1 through 4, and how we are to treat our fellow man as well. The law provided for everything. And we'll mention here once again, because we always try to mention this when we're in it, that 9 out of the 10 commandments, or 90%, are still binding upon us today. The only one that's not is to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And these were binding from the time they were given up until the time of Christ. And now, thankfully, we're under that new and that better law. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to need to take us a quick little break. Brother Jim Dearman will be back. He's going to give you more information about the Wood Church of Christ. And then I will return, and we're going to jump ahead in our story to Exodus 32, where they're going to be making the golden calf. So stay with us here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Brother Dearman, once again. Glad to have you along with us here for Reading the Word. We're transitioning now to a new section of study. If you are going to look at Moses and the Golden Calf, a great story, a famous story we love to do in vacation Bible schools and whatnot, but I want us to delve a little bit deeper into it, and we'll be in the entirety of the 32nd chapter here this week in our study and some of next week as well. But as a quick review, we were just in Exodus chapter 20, where God gives the Ten Commandments. In chapter 21, 22, 23, 24, God expounds upon things that would become part of the law. In chapters 25 through 31, we see specific instructions from God about how to make the tabernacle, which would be the dwelling place where they would worship God, the forerunner to the permanent temple. The tabernacle was meant to be moved, transported. The temple was permanent. We also see instructions regarding the priests. Now, in chapter 32, where we are at now, that's the story of the golden calf. Chapter 33, Moses is going to be a mediator. And then chapter 34 would be a second giving of the law there, where he has to get it again from God. So just kind of let you know where we're at. And Brother James Burton Kaufman has done the Brotherhood a tremendous service by writing a complete commentary set on the whole Bible, not a one-volume set. New Testament's 12 volumes in and of itself. It has a wonderful thing. You can read them online through studylight.org. I have many of them in my library. He kind of has 6 sections on this chapter, so I've adapted his outline. Let's study Exodus 32 together. So in the first 6 verses, we see this whole making the calf. But we need to set the scene. Moses is still up on top of the mountain. He is receiving instructions from God. So when the people saw Moses was delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered them together unto Aaron, which is his brother. He's also the high priest, and said unto them, up, make us gods, lowercase g, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not, or we know not, what is become of him. Friends, Moses is delayed. He spends 40 days and 40 nights up there upon the mountain. The people, they start to get a little nervous, a little worried, and they say, well, he has abandoned us. Maybe he's died. We don't know. We need something tangible. We need something we can see Aaron to worship. So make us gods. Make us something to worship. Aaron should have had more backbone, but he caved into the people. And he said unto them, verse 2, well, then break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, or your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. In other words, gather up all your gold. See, he's involved with this. And the people, with no hesitation, it seems, verse 3, they took off the earrings in their ears, brought them unto Aaron. Nobody that's recorded stood up and said, this is wrong. He's just said, thou shalt not make any image before me, but nobody's listening. And he received them in their hand and fashioned with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. They said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. They had just told Aaron, make us something because your brother who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. And now they have something new to see, to touch, to feel. They say, this is what brought us out of the land of Egypt. Now, I want you to notice here in verse 4, you may want to make a mark. Fashion it with a graving tool, because that's going to come back to be condemning to Aaron and the rest of them when Moses comes down. And when Aaron saw it, verse 5, he built an altar before it. Now they're worshiping it. And Aaron made proclamation, said, tomorrow is a feast day to the Lord, to Yahweh, to Jehovah God in heaven. Well, see, now even he's confused. And so they rose up early in the morrow, one of my favorite phrases, but here it's bad. They offered burnt offerings, peace offerings. The people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. In other words, they have a feast, they proclaim to it, and then they go on about their normal lives, and they've just incorporated this idol worship in their lives with seemingly no difficulty. They make the calf. Now Moses is going to have to intercede upon the behalf of the people. That's verses 7 through 14. The Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down for thy people. I almost envision God pointing at him. Thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, they've corrupted themselves. God is saying, you better go get them. They've turned aside quickly, I mean quickly, out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and worshipped it, sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. They're not far from Egypt, and they're really not far from receiving the Ten Commandments, and yet they've already turned away. The Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, or leave me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them. I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. It's almost as if God is wanting to destroy them and start over again with Moses. And Moses intercedes and says, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt, with great power, with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians, see, he's going to turn this around and say, what are the Egyptians going to say? For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, to consume them in the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, repent of this evil against thy people. See, Moses is saying, God, if you kill them, which you have every right to do, what are the Egyptians going to think? You've just taught all the Egyptians your God. Now they're going to think you're just toying with them. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that's Jacob, verse 13, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, said unto them, I'll multiply your seed, the stars of heaven, all this land I have spoken of will I give to your seed, they'll inherit it forever. He reminds them of the Abrahamic promise. So the Lord repented of the evil which he had done unto the people. He repents, he changes his mind, and he decides he's not going to consume the people. But those people, although they weren't as thankful as they should have been immensely thankful, because in a way Moses kept them from being destroyed. Moses, a good leader. Moses doing what he can. We need to pause our study here. We'll pick up, Lord willing, next time we get to assemble together in this fashion to study the golden calf. If you want to study any other lessons in our series, maybe you missed one, want to study one again, it's all on my website, thejustinreedshow.com. That's thejustinreedshow.com, thejustinreedshow.com. There's a column, a menu, if you will, on the left-hand side. Towards the bottom, it says Programs. Click on that, another menu appears. Alphabetical there, click on Reading the Word. This is now Program 74, so you can study any or all of them at your convenience, and we can join together again next week. I do appreciate this time that's been set aside before us. I pray that it's been beneficial to you as it has been for me, and I pray that we can do it together again soon. Until then, may the good Lord bless you. May he keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.